Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
Good morning. Come on. We have something to be so excited about. You know, we sing about, you know, our good father. And some of you probably is like, you know, it's like, oh, good father, you know. Because we are void of experiencing how good God is. Amen. Not because he's not good. Not because he has not shown you goodness. It is simply because we have our eyes off on something else. And so my heart's desire is that we are going to leave this place not the same. We are going to leave. I know so many of you came probably with, it's like, man, you know, how I wish my situation will change. How I wish my husband, my wife, my children will change. How I wish. We are so full of wishes. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not saying that those are not legitimate. It's just that wishing just leaves you powerless and hopeless. Because life of a Christian is not about wishful thinking. It's about who you are associating yourself with, who you are believing. You know, we just got done with a series last week. You know, I think the last 7 Sundays, we talked about the heroes in the Bible. We talked about, we talk about John, David, Elijah, Peter, Jonah, Mary, and then, Pastor Eric ended with Paul. Those are just a few heroes, you know, in the Bible. And, you know, they are who we call heroes of faith. You can find their lives recorded in the book, not because they live perfect lives, but because God wants to show us. God wants to make an example out of transformed, ordinary men and women being and doing extraordinary things. So let's take a look at some of the lives of the heroes of faith. I know, you know, we say, well, that's John. Well, that's Jonah. Well, that's... So let's look at the, you know, a little bit. Let's talk a little bit. We're going to take the path of negativity right now. How about John? John actually, he wrote the book of John. And he was the one who actually wrote the book, the word that says, John the Beloved. He wrote that. John the Beloved. John whom Jesus loved. That just ticked Peter off, probably, you know. But John whom Jesus loved had anger issues. He wasn't called Son of Thunder for nothing. He was the guy that told Jesus, can we call on fire to fall down upon this people that's rejecting us? Talk about David, another hero. He was an anointed king, but has a track record of being an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was depressed and suicidal. You know, Peter was called an apostle with a foot-shaped mouth. He was impulsive, a man of action, who often acted or spoke before he thought. And he denied Jesus in his dark and lowest moment. Talk about Jonah. He was a vindictive runaway prophet and evangelist. Mary was a virgin when he was tasked to birth the Savior. Rahab was a prostitute, Jacob was a liar, and Lazarus was dead. So what is your excuse? So what is your story? In John 2:24-25, it is said, no one needed to tell Jesus about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. That is in John 2:25. He knew what was in its person's heart. So Jesus was not too concerned about human nature. Human nature does not intimidate him. Human nature, he was not concerned about what religious people might think about his association with humans. That didn't quite get it. He didn't care about the people's weaknesses around him. Jesus picked his disciples, revealed himself to them, taught them, trained them, and released them. Not because they got it all together, but he knows that he who picked them got it all together. So don't ever think that you got picked because you got it all together. You got picked because of who that is in you who got it all together. In Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. In that verse alone, that is in the beginning. In the beginning. Come on, in the beginning. God knew what you were made of. He knew who he created you in the beginning of time. He didn't forget the blueprints in you being, you know, he did not forget the blueprints of and who you were modeled from. He's got his handprints on you, and he ain't finished yet. What you have become after you sinned has nothing to do with him. It's who you have become after he redeemed you is everything. Jesus said in John 17:23, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world, say that the world, will know that you sent me and that you have loved them as much as you love me. Come on. That this is Jesus Christ. Jesus praying to the Father, saying, telling him, I want the whole world to know that you love them as much as you have loved me. Jesus wants the world to know that God loves you as much as God the Father loves him. Jesus wants you to know, God wants the world to know that you are an important figure in God's life story. Equally loved by God the Father as he is, famous in his sight as he is. He wants the world to know that the Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords was sent for you. Your value is not wrapped around who you are, what you do, and what you have. Your identity is wrapped around who he is and what he did for you. Heaven knows who you are and whose you are. The devil knows who you are and whose you are. And there is sometimes one clueless in this equation, and that's you are. God knows who you are and whose you are, and the devil knows who you are and whose you are. And if you get that too, there's nothing in the world can throw you off. You know, last week, Pastor Eric ended a series with sharing to us the life of Paul, how a man of bad reputation was transformed into a person who shakes the nation. A man of bad reputation ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament, and he shook nations. That's not the end of the Bible hero story. You and I were written in the book also before life even began. You know, in Psalms 139, 16, I know it's so familiar with so many of you that, you know, it says, your eyes, whose eyes? Jesus, God. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Before your mom and dad thought about you, God saw you already. Come on, let that sink in. You are not the product of mom and dad. In as much as mom and dad helped, enjoyed it. But you are the byproduct of God's thoughts, of God's plan. You were so, God saw you unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. My life is in the book. Your life is in the book before it has ever begun. My name is also in the book that is found, and that is what we call the heroes of the Bible. Not only your life was recorded in the book, but there's also a book in you that's waiting to be unfolded. There is a book in you that is waiting to be unfolded. There is a book in you. You are the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, life happens. And without knowing who we were created to be, our life story becomes like a rabbit trail. We get off the main road, detoured, distracted, diverted from our life's goals, plans, and purposes. So what is your real story? Have you ever thought of that? What is my real story? What is the story that God, you know, inked in the book of life? What am I known for? What are you known for? What am I known for? And what are you known for? Does it even be... I mean, is my life in agreement with the book? Is your life in agreement with the book? Amen. Woo, Jesus. Let us pray. That was just my introduction. Father, thank you that you are our good, good Father. And you withhold new good thing from us. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that your word is above every other words that spoke ever spoken here on earth. That your word is the one that transformed me. Your word is the one that gives shape to my being. So, Lord God, right now, I pray, Lord, I am accessing the storeroom of heaven for new eyes to see, new ears to hear, and the new heart to perceive. About who you are and who I am in you. Amen. So, Lord God, right now, I thank you that even now hardened hearts are being plowed. Lord, I thank you that even now that you are releasing, Lord God, ministering angels Amen. To perform as the words are spoken. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that we are not tied in our past, but we are tied in your past. So, Lord, right now, I thank you. We clear the atmosphere right now. Amen. And, Lord, we thank you. Let the word of truth comes to life in our being. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Woo! Today, you know, I will present to you another hero spoken about in the Bible. And I titled my sermon as, there you go. He knows my fame. So I would like you to look at your neighbor and say, he knows my fame. And look to the other side and say, he knows your fame. You know, the fame definition is, you know, I look at the definition. It says, the condition of being known or talked about by many, especially on the account of notable achievements. Say fame. How many of you heard or thought of the word shame when I spoke about the word fame? Shame, fame. Seems like so many of you, when I speak about what kind of reputation do you have, all of a sudden shame tries to creep up. When I spoke about the word fame, people thought already about what they're known for, what they're hiding, that they don't want people to know. You know, I would say that you have been listening for, you know, if you heard the word shame instead of fame, I would say you have been listening far too long on fake news. You've been listening to fake news about you or others far too long. And we made them as our truth. When lies are being spoken over and over and over and over again, eventually it will become your truth. But that is not the truth that is found in the book, in the Bible. That is the truth, the truth that you created yourself based on your circumstance. And how can you be set free if the Word of God says the truth can set you free? Amen. If that is the kind of truth that you hold, then there is no hope for you. Amen. So it is my prayer that you pay attention to what I have to say here. Because I am reading from the book of life. I'm not sharing. You know, I love NIV. That's Nora's International Version. I have my own version. But they are in the book. They are in the book. So the facts are you sinned. And it hurts you and the people around you. The truth is Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He didn't die after you repented or changed. He didn't die because you are a sinner. How many of you heard that sermon that you died because you are a sinner? No. He has to die because you sinned, but he didn't die because you're a sinner. He died because he lost his sons and daughters. The problem when you died, Jesus died because you were a sinner, is that you just become a forgiven sinner, nothing more, nothing less. But Jesus did not die for sinners. He died for sons and daughters who lost their identity. So when he died for you, he is restoring you as sons and daughters and not just a forgiven sinner. When you have sons and daughters in your home, when they mess up and when you forgive them, they have not become like, oh, like, let's say Hannah. She has Davina. When Davina messed up, she will not look at Davina like, you're just a forgiven sinner in this home. No, she is a daughter in that home. In the same way with you and I. When God died for us, he demonstrated that one by giving up his life so that we can have his life, that we can be like him. You know, when you talked about redemption, you know, as sons and daughters, he wants us redeemed from our distracted past as sinners. And redeem means brought back to its original value. Amen. You were not bought in a discounted price. He paid the full price. That means to say he wants you back as the original sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. That you are getting all the inheritances that was promised, not just a few because you messed up. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Amen. In all wisdom and insight. It's in Ephesians 1, 7 to 8. That's Ephesians 1, 7 to 8. I'm saying this one because I would like you to know that these are not just words that comes out of my mouth that I made up, although I like to make things up. But there's a words in the Bible, Ephesians 1, 7 to 8. In him we have redemption through his blood. Life happens. Shift happens. and we deal with the realities day in and out, we got so hung up with what's happening to us and around us that we tend to forget who we are and who we were created to be. And we made a reality of what happens to us. And we shaped our lives to what people did to us. You know, sometimes we forget not only who we are, who we were created to be, so all of a sudden our life or the realities we're living, the realities we're living in speaks louder than the truth. It speaks louder than the truth of the gospel that's written for you and me. Don't make your life now speaks louder than the truth of God. Amen. Life becomes what happened to me and what other people did or didn't do to me instead of what Jesus did and didn't do to me. God's love, kindness, mercy, and grace were the main roads we got off with as we chase a rabbit trails. Can you find your life written in the Bible? Some of you are probably saying right now that you have gone too far in your rabbit trail, that there's no way out to get back to where you needed to be. We have allowed the consequences of sin, the effects of sin, and the debt we have incurred to still judge us and disqualify us from the righteousness and the holiness and the freedom that God has gifted us through His blood. Amen. Is God's work half done? Was Jesus' sanctifying, death-defying work not enough? Is His finished work that declared you as justified? When I say justified, as if you have not sinned, not good enough? Why would I allow the sin of the past and its effects and the consequences justifies its place in my life? Do you feel justified by your sacrificial acceptance of that sickness, of that disease, of that consequences of sin? Aren't you not saved by not by works, but by the grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. You know, being saved and living the life of Christ has really, you know, it's not all about what you did. It's all about what He did. That empowers you. So to me, it's like, again, don't make your life speaks louder than the gospel proclaimed and written in the Bible. Don't make the consequences of your sins still judge who you are. Man, my marriage was broken. Man, you know what? There's no hepatitis in my blood. And we're okay with that now because I have to suffer the consequence of my sin. We thought that that has a rightful place in your life because you messed up. Romans 5, 9 to 10 says, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So we have now been justified by His blood. You are justified by His blood, not by you suffering the consequences. You are justified by His blood, not by other people making you feel bad. If His blood justifies me and declared me righteous and in right standing with Him, as if I have never sinned, then why would I let hepatitis, A, B, C, and STDs, broken marriages, lost lives, and death judge me still? And why would I let those things be so justified why they are in my life? Why would I be so powerless before them? That is a wrong gospel. If Jesus said that once you get saved, he made all things new, is that a new thing that you're suffering right now? Is that sickness a new thing that came with your salvation? Is that guilt right now you're feeling has the rightful place because you did something wrong? Let me tell you why you're feeling the way you're feeling. Because we have two kingdoms. When Adam ate the forbidden tree, all of a sudden, the whole world came under the law of death. The law of sin and death. That's what governed the universe. But when Jesus came, you know, the law of sin and death, there's sin and consequence. Because Jesus did not come yet. But when Jesus entered, we also entered. For those who believed in him, for those who received him, they gave them the right to become sons and daughters. That means to say that when Jesus came, the law of love entered in. That I am no longer reaping what I have sown. I am now reaping what Jesus has sown. The law of death makes you pay the bill. In the law of love, Jesus paid my bills. So you choose which kingdom you want to belong to. You choose which law governs your life. You can choose to be governed by the law of sin and death, or you can choose to be governed by the law of love. It's your choice. You are that powerful. God gave you free will. You can stay wherever you want, but I'm going somewhere. How do I know? So to me, you have to look at your life and say, even now, I would say, look at your life and say, okay, what kind of law am I allowing to govern me? Because right now, if you're still allowing consequences and sin and what you're going through as a justification of why you're living the way you live, that means to say that you're still governed by the law of sin and death. Know your right by reading the word and claiming its promise and giving it room in your heart. Unless you do that, you will continue to be displaced in your rightful place in the kingdom as sons and daughters. And it will continue to deprive you of your righteous inheritance. It will continue to deprive you of your healing and blessings and the promises that empowers you to live your life and your destiny. You know, Christianity is not really all about benefits. Amen. You know, the Word of God says, Christ in you. What was the next? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I don't need to sing, God, show me the glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That means to say that Christianity is not simply about confession. Christianity is about me giving God an expression through my life. You did not save by a prayer. You got saved because you've been handed a new life. Christianity salvation is not about confessing my sin, a prayer of salvation. No, salvation, when you got saved, that means to say that you were handed a new beginning, a new life. Christ in you. That when the world, when life squeezes you out, it's Jesus oozing out of you. That it doesn't matter when bills don't get paid yet. It doesn't matter if I'm going through this sickness yet. It doesn't matter because my reaction should not be dictated by my outside forces. My reaction should be determined by who is in me. So many of us are so disappointed in our Christianity. So many of us are so disappointed with who God is, because all we can think of is God. I got saved, and now why my life is not, my life circumstances is change, is not changing. I mean, God said, you know what? It is in as much as I want your the circumstances of your life change, I want you to be changed first. Because that's what Christianity is all about. Amen. That we becoming more and more like Him. When God gave you grace, when you got saved, when you receive grace, it is not a ticket to heaven. When I got saved, that means to say that heaven came down and dwelt within me. And that means to say that if the kingdom is within me, I will give it room to express itself from me. So don't think that your salvation is the near by and by. It's going to come. It's going to happen sometime. No, salvation is here and the kingdom is here. Amen. You know, God sent His Son to die on the cross, not just to forgive you, but to restore you. Not just to forgive you. So many people actually, it's like, oh, I prayed a prayer. It's like my sins has now forgiven. No, the reason why you're saved is because God wants you restored to you, to your rightful place as sons and daughters, to your rightful place as a victor, to your rightful place as a more than conqueror. Don't get so focused about certain things here on earth when God is saying that I have given all things that, you know, that pertains to life and godliness. I have empowered you. Would you give me room to work? Are we okay? Don't feel like I'm beating you up. The gospel will set you free. If the devil has been rendering you powerless, it's because you have allowed their certain kind of truth to still ring a bell in your ears. It's time to switch kingdom. It's time to allow He that is within you, that is greater, have a voice. If what you are hearing does not empower you, if what you are hearing does not encourage you, if what you are not if what you're hearing is not changing you, then you're listening and you are being in, your ears are in tune to the wrong station. Check your antenna. I know there's Wi-Fi out there. But if you're not in God's Wi-Fi, it just brings confusion to who you are. The power to forgive, the power to be free from offense, the power to turn the right cheek and walk an extra mile with people can only be done through Him, Christ in me. And don't ever think that forgiving people is a sign of powerlessness. It takes power to forgive. It takes power to forgive. And it is not for other people's benefit, it's for you. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him who knew no sin. That means to say, since He made Him who knew no sin on my behalf, you know what? Jesus died not simply because of my sin. He died as me so that I become, so that I can become like Him. He died as me. So that means to say that I have no more a record of wrong in heaven, that the devil no longer have any access. They have no legal right to throw things at me. They don't have any ammunition. So how do we enter the Hall of Fame? That's what we're getting. How do we enter the Hall of Fame? Fame, F-A-M-E-D. I'm not saying that you cannot spell. I'm just reminding myself what they stand for. F, found. Be found in Him. That's how you enter the Hall of Fame. If I am found in Him, therefore I am hidden in Christ. If I am found in Him, therefore I am hidden in Christ. And if I am hidden in Christ, then you cannot see any record of wrong in me. Then that means to say that He is, you have to get through Him first before you get to me. John 17:23, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity. You know, I love this one. You know, he just wants to tell us that when I am, we are God's prime real estate. You are God's prime real estate. He chose to dwell in you. He chose to be found in you. Would you be willing to give Him room in you? If you wrap yourself with who Jesus is and is and what He did for you, and not about who you were and what you did, then the devil won't have a landing strip to dismantle you and strip you of your identity as a victor, as a conqueror, as a highly favored person. Same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that dwells within me. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. What we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Who we are, the reason why people hurt you is because they don't know who you are. And the reason why you hurt other people, because you don't know who you are. And the reason why we need people, it's like, you know, I know, you know, we always like say, you know, when you sin, you separate yourself from Him who is love. So what happens after you separate yourself from Him who is love? What happens if I separate myself from Him that is within me who is love? I'm the kind of person that will be needing love. Nora, what do you mean? You know, everybody needs love. I am found in Him and He in me. He is love, therefore I have become love. The reason why I need love, I need affirmation, I need all those things because I made myself void of Him. I am love. I'm not saying that you don't want to be loved by people. It's just that your life and your existence does not revolve around wanting people to love you back. When you are found in Him, that means to say that you have found also a new bloodline. How many of you heard about generational curses? Generational curses was passed on from first generation to the next generation to the next generation. That means to say that the sin pattern, the minds, the ungodly mindset, the curses that was not addressed before the cross will continue to be passed on from generations to generations to generations. But when I enter into the law of love and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, if I am found in Him, therefore I have found a new bloodline. I am no longer going to be judged by the bloodline of my past sinful forefathers. I'm now found in the bloodline of Him who made me righteous, holy, and blessed. That's F for found. A means attract, the law of attraction. You attract what you fear, think, dwell on, or believe. Isn't that true? A good man produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. What are you giving room in your mind and heart right now? Are you giving room to doubts and fear? Are you giving room? You know, it's just so funny. I have a friend. She was so afraid that somebody, you know, she has different businesses and somebody's going to put a lien on her businesses. And so she was, you know, there's a contractor that just messed the whole thing up. And so they're in disagreement. So guess what? She was so in fear that this man is going to put a lien on her house. She got into a panic mode and demanded from this contractor, so give me a waiver from all your workers. So it's to me, it's like, you're just giving this man an idea of what to do. So guess what? She feared happened. So whatever it is, so it's like, yeah, if what I'm afraid of is attracted to me, I will fear God. If what you're afraid of is attracted to you, I would say be afraid of God. It would say, if your fruit does not come in alignment with truth, it's time to check where your roots are. Where are you getting your sustenance? Where are you going your nutrients? In Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. When you wake up in the morning and just say, oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm, you know, just God, you know, just give me, you know, a good boss today. You know, it's like, no. You're more powerful than that. You wake up in the morning, look at the mirror and says, you are blessed and highly favored. You are blessed and highly favored. You are going to walk in divine blessings. You are going to walk in divine health. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. Every knee shall bow before my God. We need to have a management change. Change kingdom and change of management. Who you want to dictate who you are and who you want to define your boundaries. Know who you are and whose you are. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He rescued us. He rescued you from the domain of darkness. So I would say, cooperate and participate in your rescue. God wants to rescue you, but he needs your cooperation. You got to realize your rescuer. It says here that he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. As beloved sons and daughters, your rescuer is hell's destroyer. Your rescuer is hell's destroyer. The one, it says here in John, 1 John 3:8, the one who practices sin, separating himself from God and offending him by acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion, is of the devil. That means to say that you're taking on his inner character and moral values and not from God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. But the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the work of the devil. Look at your life. You look at your family. Look at around you. If you see a trace of the devil, and if you have Christ in you, and if you are living under the law of love, you have every right, every power, every authority to make a stand and say, thus far and no more. Thus far and no more. You have a God who is for you and not against you. If I am in his kingdom, if he is found in me, then who can be against me? Who can be against me? E means to say, end of that old story. That's the end of the old story. There are five R's to that. Repent, renounce, resist, reap, and recite. So what does that mean? If I have to end my old story, if I want to enter the new life that God is giving me, if I want to take on the character, the inner, who God is, then I have to intentionally say, God, I repent of all the ways that I have come in agreement with hell. I repent of all the ways, whether I did it intentionally or not. Because guess what? When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he looked at the people that crucified him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing. And I know so many of you actually are saying right now, I knew what I was doing, and I sinned purposely. And no, I thought I did the same. But the fact that you are still sinning, that it just shows that you don't know who you are. Therefore, God, thank you that you forgave me. For I truly don't know what I was doing. Don't even look at other people and say, I cannot forgive them, for they know what they're doing. No, they don't. Because if they know who they truly are, they're not going to do that to you. So repent. Renounce is the next. We have to formally declare one's abandonment of claim. So what bounds you? Sometimes, what are those claims that we have? We claim, we have the right to be offended. We have the right to be angry. We have the right to hold on unforgiveness. And we have so many rights. We have so many rights that put us in the wrong place. Thank you. So when I say renounce them, we have to break agreement with the enemy of our soul. The spirit of fear, shame, and control, we break agreement with a critical, judgmental spirit, and we have to break agreement with the spirit of infirmities and condemnation. If you're going through something right now, and if there's something that's still gnawing your soul, I would say, just say, God, I break agreement with that. I am now in a different kingdom. That has no longer a voice in me. I am a new creature. That sickness has no more power in me. I will claim and I will press through to get my healing, because there is nothing can withhold me or can deprive me of that breakthrough. Next one is resist. That means to say that we have to remove the legal access of the enemy through practice of forgiveness. That means to say to forgive yourself and others. So many of us, it's like we are so forgiving of other people, but you cannot forgive yourself. That means to say that you have made yourself above God already, whether you like it or not. That's the truth. They that cannot forgive made themselves God. Because God, who is within me, forgave me of everything that I have done. He even died as me so that I can become righteous as Him. You forgiving people and you forgiving yourself, you are simply saying, I release myself from being the judge of the universe. Can you please retire from being judgmental and critical? None of us can actually carry that well. Next one is reap. And we have to break that mindset that I have to reap what I have sown when I was still a sinner. Now that I am saved, now that I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, now that I have changed kingdom, I will no longer allow what I did in the past to dictate who I am. I will no longer allow, the consequences of the past still dictate and define and shape me as a person. That means to say that I will no longer be under the law of sin and death. I will reap what Jesus has sown for me. When He said that He died for my sin, I will receive it. If He says that by His wounds that I am healed, I don't care if that sickness came from your old sin, claim it. plus one, D, destiny. Our destiny has nothing to do, oh God, I just want to pay my bills on time. My destiny has nothing to do with, oh God, you know, I want this, I want that, and I want, you know, our destiny is to become more and more like Him, regardless of what the world and the life has thrown at you. That is your destiny. That is who you are in Christ. You know, there's a scripture I really like, and it actually says in Ephesians 2:6, and it says, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, raise us up. I know you're hungry, but says, I am seated with Him. Say, I am seated with Him. So Ephesians 2:6, you were raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is what happens when you're not seated with Him. You still have the right to be offended. You still feel like you're still being manipulated by your life circumstances. The reason why you're still depressed, the reason why you're still moaning and groaning about what life is throwing at you is because you get off your seat. So it's time to get back to your seat. When you are feeling depressed and defeated, say to yourself, Nora, I tell myself, Nora, get back to your seat. When I am around my friends who are moaning and begroaning, I will say, Marcia, get back to your seat. When life becomes a grind, I have to tell myself, get back to your seat. Because I am seated. I am seated with Him in the heavenly realm. Heaven is attracted to me. I will let heaven dictate who I am and not the world around me. I am not the byproduct of happenstance. I am the byproduct of what God, my Lord, did for me. The success of your life now is based wholly on who you are in relationship with, who you want to look like, and who you want to be identified with. If you can't be real, then you can't be relevant. And you won't be healthy and impactful in this life. We're called to be real and be relevant. And relationship is just like a prime real estate. Location, location, location. Whose kingdom you want to belong to. Which side of the judgment seat do I belong to? Because my Jesus did not come to condemn me, but to save me. If I am still feeling condemned right now, it is simply because I am in the wrong relationship. I have a wrong relationship with the ungodly. So right now, I would like you to close your eyes. I would like you to look. I don't want you to look at your life and be pitiful. I don't want you to look at what I have said and say, man, I'm not there, so therefore I probably don't get it. You have to look at the gospel as something that you can grow to, not condemn you. If I am not there yet, because you know what? I am preaching to myself as well. I'm not there yet. But since God said that that's who I can become, then I am excited with life. That means to say that the gospel right now, right here, that we have spoken about is actually called freedom. You can take it with you wherever you go. You don't need other people to tell you that your life can become better. The gospel said that, and it is written for you and me. So Father God, thank you for the hearts that has been stirred up. Thank you for the hearts that's being encouraged. Lord, thank you that your words are true. That you truly want us to experience what love looks like. So Lord God, right now I thank you for releasing such grace that empowers us to make a change, to make a difference. Lord, thank you for releasing the grace that empowers people to make a stand and not bow down to fear, to make a stand and not bow down to discouragement, to make a stand and not bow down to defeat. Lord, we thank you that your blood judges us. It is your blood that judges us righteous. It is not what we can do that made us right. It is what you did that made us right. So Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that your truth brings healing. Your truth brings freedom. Your truth brings deliverance. Your truth, Lord God, restores us back as children of the Most High God. As children who has been empowered. Who has been empowered to say no to sin and say yes to the right to righteousness. To say no to sickness and disease. That you have given me the platform to resist the devil and they will flee. So if you're the kind of person right now, I would like everybody to stand up, please. It's time for a walk of faith. And we have to get to turn our back from that walk of shame. It's time to change the ways. It's time to come in agreement with the ways of heaven. Instead of just drifting with the thoughts that has been handed to you. You know, I know you have been told, come as you are. Come as you are. But the reality is sometimes who we are is not actually something that God created us. We have become that we are because of what people did to us. It's time to turn our back from those ways. It's time to turn our back from that place of hopelessness, of powerlessness, of defeat. It's time to come under the law of love that says you are reaping right. What you will be reaping here is not because of how good you are, because how good I am. So for so many of you, I know right now that they're going through something. Let's make it a confession of faith. I would like you to walk your walk of fame right here. We are changing kingdom. I would like you to walk your fame right here and say, I will not let that past. I will not let that past dictate who I am. I will not let that sickness, you know, hold me back. I will not let that lack deprive me of who I am in Christ. So I open the altar and I ask ministers, I would like to, small group leaders to be, come forward please, or pastoral staff, I would say. You know what, it's time to turn our ways from the ways of this world and make a stand about who you are. Don't let this moment pass you by and say, I'm still ashamed. I'm still ashamed. This is your moment right here. Walk the walk of fame and say, I am a child of the Most High God. I will not let anything hold me back. I will not. If you need prayers, any sickness, if there's anything within you that is become that is part of a consequence of sin, you don't have to you don't have to give that the right to stay there. It's time. If you want agreement with people, if you want to have agreement with people, Father God, thank you. Thank you that the word of truth is the one that gives us life. Thank you, Lord God, that you withhold no good thing from us. Lord, thank you that you hold no record of wrong. Lord, we thank you that your desire is to restore us, to redeem us. So Lord God, right now we thank you. Lord God, we release right now your peace to your people. We release your peace to those that have your spirit. Lord God, we release your peace upon your children. You don't have to stay in this place of hopelessness. You don't have to stay in that place in the cycle of joblessness. God is a good, good Father. So Father God, thank you. I bless every home that's represented here. We bless every home that's represented here. We thank you that you are their bloodline from here on. You are their bloodline. Lord God, that blessings flows from your bloodline. That curses has now been broken. Lord, we thank you that you have empowered your sons and daughters. You have empowered them with your truth to walk out of this place into your freedom. So Lord, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord God, for what is yet to come. Thank you, God, that our book is now rewritten, that we have a new unfolding of the chapter of our life that is not marred by our past. So Lord, we thank you for the new beginning. We thank you, Lord God, for the new history with you, that our life is now in agreement with your story for us. So Lord, we just bless this whole congregation. Lord God, we pray blessing over your children and over the works of your hands. Lord, thank you that he who began a good work will bring it into completion. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.